You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks coming to you live from my home studio. We've got Ty and Michael, who are producing the show, back in New York City. With you for the next 3 hours in a very special show. Spend a lot of time talking NBA. Of course, you've got the Bucks in the Nets going at it later on tonight. Tip-off is at 7:30 p.m. Nets favored by 4. The over-under is at 239.5. Before the show started, Ty and I were talking about the over-under. I do like the over, even though it is a pretty big number. Also, I like the team total for the Bucks at 118.5. We're going to dive into all that. Good friend of the show, Mo Hamilton, is going to join us in about 27 minutes. So excited to get him back. We haven't heard from him in a hot second. So we'll talk to Moke, not just about the teams that are still alive heading into round two. And of course, after last night's game with the Clippers and the Mavs, they still have a score to settle in regard to who's going to move forward in that series. But nonetheless, we'll take a look back as well and talk about the Knicks. Ty was telling me on Dave's show just prior to me coming on, a lot of talk in regard to the Knicks and Knicks fans and, you know, your take, like kind of just, you know, recapping the season based on how the season ended. Did it kind of spoil it for you? What were your expectations? Were they realistic expectations as the Knicks headed into the postseason? We'll dive into all that. Also, I want to get your thoughts on the Lakers. I thought about you. You were like the only you were the only person I thought about.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, I did. I really, and I was like, I was very close to sending a text, but I was just like, in a kind text, a text that would be like, hey, listen, I wasn't going to rub it in or anything. I was just going to be like, hey, I'm really sorry. But then I didn't, you know, a lot of times when your team loses, or you know, you don't even want to, you just maybe sometimes, you know, you go in like this deep dark hole and you just don't want to hear from anyone. I just wasn't sure if you really wanted a text from me. So I was like, no, I'm going to talk to him on Saturday. So it's all good.
What made it, you know, easier to bear emotionally was like Anthony Davis gets hurt, and you, as confident as you can be as a fan of a team, you know you're drawing dead against a 2 seed with a compromised LeBron because of his ankle. Anthony Davis isn't playing. Like, I know LeBron's probably the greatest player ever, but that's at age 36 and year 18. Like, that's tough to ask. So they get blown out in game 4, pretty much blown out in game 5. That makes it easier. It's not game 7 losing on a walk-off shot against a team you should have beaten. So, yes, am I heartbroken? Maybe, but I feel as good as I can. Championship 8 months ago, so no one's going to feel sorry for me.
I was watching SportsCenter, you know, prior to this afternoon, prior to coming on, and, you know, I guess reports are that, you know, the Lakers are going to try to keep everybody and run it back. Magic Johnson came out and said that, you know, they should change the team up. You know, I guess if you're a Lakers fan, and you are, you're one of the biggest ones I know. I know we're sitting here, we're talking about LeBron James and him dealing with some issues, health issues, and his ankle and whatnot, and AD. But you just said it, you know, mid-30s, body's breaking down. He's been in, 14, 15 years now. AD, just track record is not good health-wise. 18 years. Yeah, I mean, geez. Has it been 18 years?
Yeah. Time flies.
Man, I remember.
Time flies when you're watching the GOAT. But yes, go.
Man. I disagree, but that's okay. I remember I was living in Miami, and I was dating. I was living in Coconut Grove, and I was dating a shooting coach who worked with Glenn Rice, who at that point in time was with the Miami Heat. And I remember him telling me there's this young junior high kid who's gonna make it to the NBA soon, like in the next next 4 to 5 years, and he's gonna be a rock star. And I said, he's in junior high. And he said, Anita, trust me. This kid is gonna, he's gonna be dynamite. He's gonna take the NBA by storm. He's unbelievable. him and Glenn, I guess, had traveled to Ohio to watch him play, like, in junior high or something like that. And he was talking about LeBron James. So, I you know, it's just, it's wild to me that, man, 18 years in the NBA, and I was hearing about him from a shooting coach that used to work with Glenn Rice down in Miami 25 years ago. It's absolutely wild. But back to my, enough about me, back to what we're talking about, and that is, and I'm curious, I want to open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. And again, I want to dive in. I want to hear from Knicks fans. You know, let's put a big, and I'm going to call it a green bow. I'm not going to call it a red bow. Red is negative. Let's put a big green bow on this Knicks season, because as disappointing as it was, I mean, you did want to see a little bit more fight in the dog. I thought for I was hoping, I put my money where my mouth is. The final two games, I picked the Knicks, especially when they came back to the Garden. Not gonna lie, Trae Young got on my nerves, and not that I'm a huge Knicks fan. I just the arrogance and the swag just like kind of like got to me a little bit. I thought it was a little over the top. I'm someone, maybe call me old school, call me old fashioned, but I like athletes that crush it, but walk this earth with humility. And I just don't think Trae Young showed any of that. So I just that whole series just rubbed me the wrong way. I hate to say it, and I know it was all in good fun and him in the crowd at the Garden and Capella putting up bulletin board material. I just that entire series just did not feel right. I don't know about you guys, but you know, that entire series just did not feel right to me. And you know, we talked about it last weekend when I was on. I just felt like something was wrong with Julius Randle. I get that the Hawks came out, they're playing such better defense now that Nate McMillan has taken over as head coach, top 10 on the offensive side of the ball in the NBA since he's taken over as well. And so they've improved on both ends of the court. I get all that. I was expecting more from the Knicks in the postseason. But with that being said, I still think this season was a huge, huge success. Huge. And I think this is a season that the Knicks can build on. How will they build on it? That's really the big question. Not a lot of big name free agents that are coming out this year. It's going to be in, you know, we had, and we're going to have Mo Hamilton on in about 15, 20 minutes, but we've had Ian Begley on, we've had Bobby Marks on, who, by the way, Bobby Marks is going to be on with us tomorrow at 9:30 AM to recap the game one for the Bucks and the Nets and talk all things NBA. But, you know, pretty much everyone, you know, all the analysts who cover and beat reporters who cover the NBA have said that this summer is, you know, not the wow summer in regard to free agents. It's really next summer, you know, maybe Mike Conley, something like that. I know there's some talk and speculation in regard to Kawhi. Will Kawhi leave LA and come to the Knicks? And how the series played out, I'm sure Knicks fans have some serious questions in regard to Julius Randle. And financially, should he be paid as an alpha? I like to call him an alpha, a number one on any team, because he really wasn't able to step up to the plate and perform as a number one in the series against the Atlanta Hawks. So what does that mean for the Knicks? Is he more of a legit two on a roster? I would lean more that way. Are there a number of guys in the NBA that are getting overpaid in regard to their role? Yes, they are. And God bless, God willing, because the NBA has done so well. Teams and owners and general managers are able to pay that kind of money. Here's another thing. I just, you know, based on the season that Julius Randle had, you know, I don't want to say hometown discount, because I don't think Julius Randle's value has ever been this great in his career, and who knows if it ever will be moving forward. And how much longer, what's his tenure, how much longer he has in the NBA. But I've always said this, you know, I think you put a price tag on playing for an organization and a franchise and a fan base that you love. I know so many professional athletes out there that have just, they sold their soul to the highest bidder. And they went to that team and they went to that organization and they were miserable. So, it seems to me like Julius Randle has embraced, has become the face, the voice of this Knicks franchise. And he's endured himself with the fans here. And it is New York. It is the Garden. To me, you've got to put a price tag on that. No, what price tag is that? What will other teams be offering Julius Randle compared to the Knicks? I mean, only time will tell. But I just personally know so many professional athletes that have just followed the money and did not put a value on a franchise or an organization, and were just absolutely miserable for the remainder of their careers because they did not put a price tag on everything encompassing of what they do for a living. So we'll see what happens.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Over under 32.5 points later on this evening. Over under 51.5 points, assists, and rebounds. I'm on the over on both. And before we started the show, I was talking to Ty. Man, KD, double-double plus 140. What? PJ Tucker is going to be on him tonight. I'll take KD 7 days a week and twice on Saturday night, especially a double-double at plus 140. 800-919-3776. I got this tweet. By the way, you can hit me up on Twitter, at Anita Marks. This is from Christopher. He says, "You're crazy. Trae Young was greeted with chants of F Trae Young by the crowd at the Garden, but he's supposed to be humble? Maybe the Garden crowd should show some humility. What a homer you become." Do I sound like a homer, Ty and Michael? I don't think I sound like a... I'm not a homer. Nothing?
I don't think so. I think you have...
I don't think I sound like a homer.
I think you've graduated toward being more of a Knicks supporter than you've ever been.
Yeah, you sound like a Knicks fan.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. Because like that tweet said, what else is Trae Young supposed to do if you're going to say F Trae Young... And then he shuts up the crowd.
Be a bigger person. Like, I mean,
that sounds like a Knicks fan. Because if Julius Randle had went to Atlanta and they were saying F Randle, and Randle has the game, 40-point game, shuts up the crowd, sends them home, and we'll come on the air and be like, oh my God, Randle, what a superstar. This was amazing.
Yeah, but I will give respect where respect is due, and I just said Trae Young was amazing. Listen, I'm picking Atlanta to upset the 76ers. I'm concerned about Embiid's meniscus tear. I've had 7 knee surgeries. I know a lot about knees, and not that I'm comparing myself to Embiid or a professional basketball player, but regardless, whoever you are, you've got a meniscus tear. There's stability in that knee that is lacking. And you are risking further injury. I had a meniscus tear that ended up as an ACL tear. And I know we're all different. Everybody's body's different. Women are more subjective to ACL tears than men just because of our hip placement and the way that we are built compared to men. I get all that. All I'm saying is this Embiid knee injury, I've got some concerns there. And the Hawks coming in like they did, and Trae Young was averaging 29 points and 8 assists a game. Listen, I'll give credit where credit's due. And like I said, I'm picking Atlanta to win the series. And again, a big reason why is because Embiid is not 100%. But and I don't have anything. It's one thing to have swag. It's another thing to be obnoxious. Has nothing to do with me being a Knicks fan, not a Knicks fan. Even if Julius Randle behaved this way while he was in Atlanta, I would say the same thing. I'm just, again,
so
call
what,
me old.
What
so
about
d-
what
don't,
Young did but, was but, obnoxious but, in his game? Was it the bow?
The bow, everything. What do you mean, what did he do? Like,
I don't think that's obnoxious. I think that's just basketball. Like, when you
watched the series, he was like, shooting the crowd. Like, just and again, I could be, call me old school. There's something... I love athletes who exhibit humility even in the worst conditions, even in the worst, you know, probably a big reason why Barry Sanders is probably one of my favorite athletes. Barry Sanders would score a touchdown. He would take the football. He would put it right at the goal line. And he'd run over to the sideline and celebrate with his teammates. Like, I loved that about him. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is something that, like, I was drawn to him, not because he was, and I will sit here and argue that I think he's probably the best running back to ever play. Unfortunately, he was subject to playing with the Detroit Lions. But, again, here's the thing. Call me old school. Call me a fuddy-duddy. Call me boring. Call me unfun. Don't call me, it's not because I'm a fan of, and yeah, of course I want the Knicks to win. You know, Knicks, if the Knicks would have advanced to the next series against the 76ers, our station, our show's more relevant, more fun. Absolutely. Did I want the Knicks to win? But it's not that. I just got on my nerves. Trae Young's behavior got on my nerves.
That's what makes a true villain. He's turned into another Knicks villain, and I think he's doing exactly what he wanted to, where they went back and forth this whole series. It wasn't a series where it was just one side talking. We had, after the Knicks won game two, you had Bullock saying, yeah, we're going to come to the A and we're going to win. And Clint Capela said, no, we're not. And then we're going to go back in game five and send you guys packing. So I think it was just contentious. And then at that point where everybody is on you, you're in the loudest arena in the NBA, fans are coming out you to take a bow after you just sent the team home. I think that was more of just goodbye, have a great night, this is a fun series, more than being obnoxious and saying, I'm so great, I'm the best player out here.
800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Westchester. John, you're up.
Good afternoon, Anita. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome in.
Thank you. So just a couple of comments. I'm not, first off, with Randall, I definitely don't think he's a one. I think he's actually a two and a half, three on a contending team. But
fair.
My question about Thibodeau, I can't tell whether moves to be made to counter what Atlanta was doing and he didn't see him, or do we think we got the best out of his coaching? It just seemed a time that he didn't go to his younger players when his quote-unquote vets were not hanging tough. I don't know. I struggle with that because I think there were times where he may have been outplayed or outmoved by the opposing coach. Your thoughts on that?
A few things. And John, thanks for the phone call. You know, it's interesting because one thing that Tibbs is criticized for is that, you know, he asks for 110% from his players during the regular season. So there's no load management per se. So by the time that the postseason rolls around, there's no gas left in their tank. Okay. I think that there could be some truth to that. Listen, there were reports out there, and I don't think this was Thibodeau telling the players to do this. I think this is Julius Randle being a phenomenal team leader, that the Knicks would land in an opposing team city, go from the airport to the hotel, drop off all their stuff, and then they would go practice at 11 at night, midnight. So, you know, was it a combination of not enough gas left in the tank from what Tibbs was demanding from his players, along with what the extra mile that Julius Randle wanted to go to make sure the Knicks made it not only just in the postseason, but got that fourth seed possibly. And I think that there is value and there is credit and there is honesty in that the defense that the Hawks came into the series with against Randle could not pivot from it. And they pretty much took away his game of that isolation ball that he excels at. They defended the three-point shot extremely well. He came in shooting 40% from downtown. What did he end in the series, Ty? I think like somewhere in 20, 29, 22, 23, 24%. So to answer your question, I think it was a double-edged sword here. I think it was the way the extra motivation, the extra energy, all of the that this Knicks team needed to come with each and every day, each and every night to win and make it to the postseason, let alone get that fourth seed. compounded by Nate McMillan's good. The minute he took over, that Hawks roster started to improve. And heading into the postseason, they were 10th best offense in the NBA. And I want to say somewhere around 10 or 12 in regard to best defense in the NBA. So you've got to give credit where credit's due.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Had a great day so far. Woke up this morning, went for a nice walk, popped into my favorite pet store, Hoboken Pet. Mike's there. Mike, I know you're listening. Appreciate you. You have the show on the speaker system. Appreciate you, my friend. I had a nice spin class, nice little lunch. Now I'm hosting Sports Talk Radio on an exciting Saturday afternoon. I'm going to head to the dog park after, and then we got the Belmont later on tonight, and then the Bucks and the Nets. Who's got it better than us? Nobody, I'll tell you that. It is time for Joe Wiz on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com and by Infinity of Inglewood in New Jersey. Joe, welcome in. A lot to dive into. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, Anita. Great show so far. Love enjoying listening to everything you're talking about. It is a beautiful day, a little warm out there, but it's certainly a great day for sports.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with the horses before we dive into some NBA talk, because I know you love the horses. I love essential quality, 2-1. Again, nobody's paying off their mortgage with those odds. But so a few ways that I'm playing the Belmont today. Essential quality to win. I like known agenda to win, place, or show. Also, I'll put some money on Hot Rod Charlie to win, place, or show. And I'm probably going to play a key box with essential quality winning. And then I'll throw in, of course, known agenda, Hot Rod Charlie. I actually like Overtook and Rombauer. Those are the horses that I'm going to be playing today. So I'm going to play this
almost,
a lot
that's
of...
That's almost the entire field you're playing.
Well, there's only, what? There's only, what, seven horses? Eight, what, eight horses? I mean,
eight,
you know, and you've got to get creative here to try to win some money, for gosh. Anyway, more about you. You're bigger into horse racing than I am. So Joe, how we walk up to the window with Joe Wiz. How's Joe Wiz playing the Belmont today?
I'm betting Hot Rod Charlie to win the race. I think Hot Rod with Doug O'Neill has the experience. He's got Flavian Pratt, and don't forget Hot Rod did finish ahead of Essential Quality in the Derby, and then these two horses also met back in November in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and it was a wicked pace. Essential Quality beat Hot Rod, but it was a very, very fast pace here. I just think that, you know, I had Hot Rod in the Derby, didn't do well, but I think here with the pace, I'm expecting Rocky World to take the lead in this race, but in a mile and a half, I don't expect him to hold up. I like Hot Rod Charlie. I'm going with Rombauer. I think Rombauer was impressive in the Preakness. He showed me some true guts, and of course, Rombauer gets one of the best jockeys without Arad being in there. The second best jockey in the country would be Velasquez. With Velasquez on him, he certainly knows the track. So sort of a little bit of a home court advantage for Rombauer and Velasquez. And Rombauer, ironically, was only run one time on the dirt, and that was last 3 weeks ago in the Preakness, and he won that race. And I'm going to throw Essential in there for third. But my main pick ticket here, Manita, there's really not much value. Looking for a bomb here is the only horse that's a really long shot, maybe the 1 and the 8, and I don't see either one of those coming in there. So I might take a small shot with a trifecta like a 4-3-2. It won't pay much. So my main bet's going to be a win ticket, a strictly win ticket here, only because it's a short field. I don't like the two bombs in here. Bobonic is a stone-cold closer. He won the Wood Memorial. I don't see him closing today. My main bet here, if you're betting 100 or you're betting 1,000, I'm betting 800 of it on Hot Rod Charlie and maybe doing a few exotics with Rombauer in the Central, and maybe I'll throw in a little bit on Bobonic. I was a little impressed, and of course, Pletcher trains him, so as well as training the 8-horse, so Pletcher has 3 horses in here.
No love for Known Agenda?
Known Agenda, you know, after seeing what happened with him and the Jose Ortiz is now taking over for his brother, you got to make some choices here and you got to cut some horses out, and I can't bet every horse. So with Known Agenda, I liked him in the Florida Derby without Arad, and he didn't run well in a lot of excuses in the Kentucky Derby, having the dreaded one post. I know you had talked about it mm-hmm. when we had talked about the Kentucky Derby, but I like Hot Rod Charlie. I like the training. I like Doug O'Neill. I talked to Doug back in Louisville when he was at the Kentucky Derby. And it's an interesting story, too. I talked about on my show, Anita, people will notice right before the race, there'll be a pregame blanket embroidered with running for Jake. Jake Panis, a 16-year-old who was killed tragically in a road rage incident, and he's the son of Jockey Club exec Stephen Panis. So those of you seeing, there'll be a little bit of a soft spot for me as well for Hot Rod Charlie.
Yeah, I talked about Jake Panis on Daily Wager last night.
That's such a sad story.
Yeah, it really is. So there's a number of reasons why many of us want to really cheer for Hot Rod Charlie, for sure. All right, enough about the horses. Let's talk about the NBA, the Nets and the Bucks, starting this series later on tonight, 7:30. This is going to be a good one. I'm calling this the NBA championship. That's how I feel. I think this is, I'm not betting a winner in this series because to me, I don't know who's going to win it, but I'll tell you what, I think it goes the distance. I am going to bet that it's going to go seven games.
I could see it. I mean, you have Brooklyn right now favored by four in this game at a 239. And, you know, Brooklyn went right through the motions with the Celtics. And Milwaukee, very impressive against the Miami Heat. These two teams met three times this year. But, you know, the Nets won the first game. That was when Harden only played his second game as a Net. He scored 34 points. It's hard to tell with the matchups here. But, Anita, one of the key factors here, Milwaukee is going to be without. They lost Dante Vincenzo in the series with Miami. And that guard play is going to come to play at some point. And they have P.J. Tucker and Forbes, but you know, and head coach Budenholzer has a little bit of an advantage here over Steve Nash. Nash, you know, doesn't have much coaching experience, but when you look at it here, the total here is 239. It seems high, but the Brooklyn Nets never play defense, Anita. We both know that. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, and of the three meetings this year, all three meetings have been decided by 6 points or less. I think you're going to see a tight, competitive series. Every game is going to be competitive, and you know, points will be at a premium here. Not interested in laying the 4 points. It doesn't seem like a lot, but I'd rather take a shot with the total. I think it's a high-scoring affair, so we sit back after the Belmont Stakes and you turn on, see the Brooklyn Nets and Milwaukee shoot it out and go over 239.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the over. I had Joe Fortenball on just not too long ago. He likes the over team total for the Bucks at 118.5. Some of the prop bets, again, that I'm playing. I love the KD double-double. You mentioned P.J. Tucker. Chances are that's going to be his defensive assignment. Good luck with that. So I like the double-double for KD at plus 140. I like the Giannis over points, assists, and rebounds at 51.5. And as I was just talking about Joey Buckets, I'm all over Joe Harris. Over points at 12.5, over points and assists at 14.5, and over three-pointers. Last night, that was at minus 150. It's now to minus 177. So might be a little bit too much juice for folks. What about the 76ers Atlanta series? Because of the Embiid torn meniscus, which to me is a huge red flag, I like Atlanta in the series at plus 160. How are you playing this one?
Boy, Atlanta, I'm still having nightmares about them when they were playing the Knicks. But this, mm-hmm. they're stepping up in class here against the Sixers. The line in this game is a 2.5, 220.5. I'm told that Embiid will not play. The line's pretty much indicative of him not playing at 2.5. If he was playing, the line would be more like 5 or 6. These two teams met three times in the early part of the season. January 11th, Atlanta won 112-94. And then April 28th and 30th, Philly won both games, high-scoring affairs. It's very hard to figure out without Embiid what the strategy is here. But, you know, Sixers, you know, they played without Embiid. There were 21 games where Embiid did not play during the regular season. And during that time, their record was only 10-11 without Embiid. And their point, they were averaging 115 points per game with Embiid. Without him, 109. I think that, you know, without Embiid, I think it's going to be more of a half-court offense game. And 220 might be a little high here. I'd rather take a shot with the totals game under 220. I lean small towards Sixers, though. I think this is an important game. They got to send a statement out because they know more than we know about these injuries, and we all know about these GTD game time decisions. This one won't be. He won't be playing tomorrow, but we know they know more about Embiid, and certainly they're going to have to plan to play without him perhaps this entire series.
For this first game, there's a chance, again, day-to-day. I can't see Embiid playing in this first game. I like Atlanta plus 2.5, and I like the under here, the under at 220.5. Atlanta has been playing exceptional defense since Nick McMillan has taken over.
Absolutely, I agree. I think the total 220. I think the Sixers will struggle to score points. Like I said, without Embiid, they were average. With him, they were scoring 115 points per game. Without him, they were down to 109. And the Hawks do play some defense, and I think that this could turn into a half-court game. And I lean towards the under in that game, especially obviously with Embiid not playing tomorrow. So we agree, Anita. Under 220 is the play for tomorrow.
Joe, great stuff as always. Appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the Belmont and enjoy, of course, game one of the Nets and the Bucks later on tonight. You take care.
Absolutely. I know you have a horse racing show coming up here in a few minutes. I can't wait to listen to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. America's Best Racing, ABR. Dan Torgeman is going to be joining me from the Belmont. Mark DiLorenzo is going to pop on around 2:30. So we're going to do a deep dive into all these horses and hopefully give out
some
more winners.
Good luck. I'll be tuning in.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.